Can't wait.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
It was a good game. Both teams play hard.
About their defense. They can't stop a nosebleed.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I got man hits like I was Rod Carew.
Yeah. Can't wait.
What happened offensively in that period?
Turnovers.
What about on the defensive end? They had their most productive quarter. What'd you see there?
Turnovers. Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
Not the game that I go out there and die for.
This is grown man B.I.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Relax and take notes.
Hello and welcome to Can't Wait with my trusty co-hosts, Matt Milner.
Hey, Nick.
And we have Rusty Boulay Stevenson.
Hi, Nick.
And I hate to break it to you, Rusty, but you've been dealt to KFMA for two DJs and a prospect to be named later.
That's very sad. I was drafted here. This is the only team I've ever known.
You're
going to make me cry.
You're homegrown talent here. And, you know, it's nothing personal, but, you know, we have to do what's best for the team.
The business, I get it.
This is a rebuilding year for Can't Wait. You know, we're building for the future.
We have to stock up young arms. We don't have enough pitching at this, but
I didn't know pitching was even involved. No wonder you're trading me.
Yeah, we didn't know either. This is a Kathy decision.
Wow. Wow. Kathy's making decisions for Can't Wait.
So you're not traded.
Woohoo!
But a lot of trades happened in Major League Baseball over this past week, and we're going to get into it. Let's start with Troy Tulowitzki, the face of the Colorado Rockies for a number of years, one of the league's best shortstops, now heading to Toronto. What does this mean for the Rockies? What does this mean for the Blue Jays? Who won the trade? I know a lot of people were kind of making fun of the Rockies because they had to take back Jose Reyes in the deal. Break it down for me, Matt. What happened in this deal?
Well, I was in Denver at the time, and I can tell you the mood on the ground, not so good.
No, it was melancholy. Melancholy. That's a town that really loves Troy Tulowitzki and Carlos Gonzalez.
Yeah, and we actually talked, I think in our season preview, we talked about, is this going to be the year that Tulo finally gets traded? And I think we all kind of came down on the side of, yeah.
It was time.
It's time. You know, is this the best deal that was out there? I don't know. That game's always hard to play.
It's impossible. Trying to gauge who these pitching prospects are going to be and not going to be.
I mean,
it's a total crapshoot. Yeah. You just try to collect as many arms as possible and hope one of them's a lottery ticket.
Especially in Colorado, it's hard to guess with pitching.
For sure.
Absolutely. So the question that I have, though, is, you know, I do understand why some people would, you know, justifiably feel like having to bring back Jose Reyes, you know, to some extent kind of undermines the purpose of doing a deal like this. I also was really one of my favorite things about the trade was discovering that LaTroy Hawkins is still in the league.
He's never going anywhere.
What is he, like 43 years old?
40? He's got to be in his 40s, I know.
He's like the, I'm blanking on the dude's name. Jesse
Orosco.
Yeah, there's a, just this ageless, unending career that feels like he'll throw in the mid-90s in his mid-50s.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can't believe he's still kicking around either.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a year older than me, so he's 43.
Wow.
Goodness gracious.
I'm not going to try to pretend that I know everything about all these prospects or that we can project what they're going to turn into. Do I think it made sense to trade him? Yes. Do I know if this was the best package? Not necessarily. The question that I have, though, is, you know, why now? What changed now that wasn't true at the beginning of the season, during the off season, last year? I mean, I think the Rockies are who we thought they were.
Yeah, no surprises. They're one of the worst teams. They didn't make any other moves. They didn't move Cargo.
Mm-hmm.
They kept him. So that's kind of strange. It is a bit odd, I think. It was time to move him. But you know what? To me, it's a decent move for them. I don't see it as a bad thing for Colorado. Yeah. It's a weird move, and it was especially weird until Toronto picked up David Price as well, that they added a bat, and that they added, to me, it's a little bit strange to put somebody who's injured so often on artificial turf.
Mm.
Unless they're going to be using him primarily, and I guess they're not. They're not going to use him as a DH primarily. They're going to continue to use him as a shortstop. By the end of his career, he'll be DHing for them. You can't imagine he's going to continue to play shortstop much longer than 2 or 3 years. But it's an odd move in a way for Toronto in that you've got this guy who gets hurt all the time. He's constantly hurt. He's amazing, and he puts up amazing numbers for being hurt so often. But it's weird to put him on turf is a weird move to me for them.
From what I feel like they made the move because Jose Reyes has been a disaster at shortstop, fielding his position. Mm-hmm. He used to be thrilling and exciting and kind of like a Ozzie Smith, except not as steady. He could make that big highlight play for the Mets, and that's why the Blue Jays brought him in. They wanted this like exciting, flashy shortstop, and he's just fallen off a cliff. Mm-hmm. He cannot defend that position anymore. So it feels like they made the move not necessarily because they needed his bat, because they score a ton of runs.
Yeah.
They got Donaldson, you got Batista. I mean, they've got bats in the middle of the order. They get the job done hitting the ball. They lead the league in runs scored, don't they? Or they lead the AL?
Yeah.
They're among the league leaders.
Yeah.
It feels like they had to make this move because they feel like his defense at that premium position makes all their pitchers about 10% better. Mm-hmm. And that's what was weird about the deal, because they're shorthanded on arms. And they gave up, they just keep giving up arms. Mm-hmm. Am I following that? That's the MO for Toronto.
Right.
They have these well-regarded minor league arms, but they trade them all for bats, and their pitching staff is garbage. And then they got David Price to hopefully save the day. Mm-hmm. These are big, flashy moves, and you don't usually win the trade deadline and win the World Series. That's not typically how it goes.
There's a lot of truth to that.
But at the same time, you can't have a minus fielding shortstop. You have to have somebody that can at least hold his own. And Troy Tulowitzki, when he's healthy, that's always the caveat, is probably one of the five best guys at fielding that spot. He's got a huge arm, and they'll probably transition him to third if they feel like they get some sort of hot shot shortstop. Mm-hmm. He has the arm for third base that doesn't have the same kind of grind. But, I see it for Colorado, because I think they thought their team was better than it is, and that's always the curse that in any sport. Whenever you have these unrealistic expectations about your team, you're always in trouble.
Yeah.
If they would have dealt him last year, they would have gotten at least double this package.
Right.
But if they had to make the move now, it feels like what they bought low on some kids that would have been higher regarded. Like, I read that one of the kids was in the mix for the number one pick of the draft until he had Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're making a kind of a roll of the dice kind of thing, trying to like swing for the fences on some kids that could be like Garrett Cole, maybe.
Right.
But ultimately, this is what Denver teams do. We hold on to our guys because we think our team is actually great, and we get wrapped up in the sentimentality because the fans identify. Well, this is what we do. This is what we do in Denver. We trap ourselves in mediocrity. The football team, they've got Peyton Manning, so they're always going to play for the Super Bowl as long as he is upright-ish. Our basketball team, we did this with Ty Lawson. We needed to trade Ty Lawson before we actually did, and the package that we got back for Ty Lawson is just not good enough. This Tulowitzki deal, it's not as bad as the Lawson deal. Nothing's as bad as the Lawson deal.
No.
But it's not as good as it could have been if they'd have been a little bit more realistic about where they were.
Yeah. And if you're the Blue Jays, I think that they have probably quite realistically assessed the fact that they have a unique situation in front of them right now where, they're in historically the toughest division in the league. The financial power that's in that division is always going to present a challenge, even when you're just competing for a wild card spot, let alone when you're trying to win the division. And they've got a year when some of the historic powers are a little bit more vulnerable. There's an opening to be able to go ahead and actually win that division. And they're going all in, recognizing that windows are finite in every sport, but especially in baseball, when, your ace could blow out his UCL, the 60th pitch of a meaningless August game, and then that's that. Your next season is toast. So they're going for it, and I think that given the makeup of the rest of their team, the moves that they made make a lot of sense. They're unquestionably better, and I always think it's interesting when teams go all in, and it's kind of a unique thing to baseball because of the nature of the minor league system and the number of assets you have available to you, that there are more moves that can be made and a team can more wildly fluctuate between the different win now modes and rebuilding modes because they just have more trading tools at their disposal. So they pushed all their chips into the middle table, but, you know, why not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They had every reason to do it. They've got a team that's ready to win now. They're not going to be a whole lot better next year, that
right.
group. And so it is. And not only that, but like you're saying, the traditional powers are weak. The Yankees aren't nearly the best first-place team in baseball at all.
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles didn't make that many moves. They brought in Parra. But I mean, Toronto did, and they've got a chance right now. Plus, you know, one thing that happens in the AL East, too, is Tampa Bay is one of the more interesting and creative organizations there is, so you always have to fight them, and they're down this year, too. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, yeah, this is the year for Toronto to do it.
And I think you have to look at the Tulowitzki trade in tandem with the David Price move.
Yeah,
oh, without
definitely.
A doubt.
Because if they just make this deal for Tulowitzki, it's like, oh well, okay, so you're just gonna you're gonna lose games 10-8 instead of 10-6.
Yeah.
But getting David Price to kind of stop the bleeding on a losing streak, you know, you have this definite number one guy you can throw out. I mean, I like both moves, but I'm not sure I like each individual move on the ledger.
You're right.
But you make them both together, and you look at their run differential in comparison to their record. I think they feel like they have like this 12-game win streak in them in August.
Yeah.
And just the numbers bear that out. So I think they're making an educated decision to try to actually win some games. And they haven't done this in a while. The Blue Jays have been either in the middle or the bottom of that division for a very long time. So it's really exciting to see them try to make some moves. There have been some other moves as well, and it's from teams that don't typically make these kind of deadline moves. I mean, the Royals were all in. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about some of the other trades that really raised your eyebrows at the deadline.
Well, I love what the Dodgers did. The Dodgers, like, they kind of pantsed the rest of the league, right? Like, they're doing stuff in a way that the Yankees never thought to do it.
Yeah.
Where they're taking on contracts of meaningless players that are just a little too much for the teams they're getting them from. And as they do it, they're like, okay, now give me your best prospect in the infield. And give me a 24-year-old pitcher and a 27-year-old pitcher.
It's the way NBA teams used to use cap room.
Yeah.
And since in baseball, if you can take on infinity money because your owners have all of the money, mm-hmm. what's stopping you?
Yeah, yeah. And
not everyone can do this, but the Dodgers know it, so they're using this to their advantage.
Oh, almost nobody else can do it. The Phillies kind of did it a little bit, too, where they picked up a contract and in the process brought in prospects, but not like the Dodgers did. The Dodgers did it in a way that just is kind of mind-blowing a little bit. They added to their bullpen. They added a 24-year-old pitcher who is under contract for 4 more years. I mean, and putting him in spacious Dodger Stadium, I mean, that's great. That's great stuff for them.
And in the context of at least the Marlins part of their moves, it's not just that they used that infinity space, as you described it, to bring on prospects, but they used it also to dramatically reduce the prospect load that they would have sent back to the Marlins.
Yeah.
If not for having to take on the Michael Morse contract. Because, you know, with the Lado deal, that's a very, I think he's going to be a really good arm for them. He's pitched very well since coming back from the
DL.
Right. And he's a guy who a couple years ago was one of the 5 best pitchers in the NL. And now they can slot him in as their 4 or 5 starter.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And again, because they were willing to take on, you know, a bad contract because money is no object. There's no salary cap, so there's
right.
no, you know, it's not restricting their
There's no
freedom.
Penalty.
There's no,
yeah,
penalty,
there's no penalty
other than just having to cut the checks. So as a result, they were able to bring those guys on without really sending any meaningful assets back.
So they just get to continue stockpiling. So
yeah.
when they, for the next year and the year after, they just have all these resources, prospects and money to continue remaining where they are. There's no reason why they should ever be bad. They should never have to rebuild.
No. Then the way they're playing it, they won't. You know, and it's not like what you're seeing in Philadelphia, where Philadelphia just brought in all these huge contracts and all these great players, but got rid of their farm system in the process, or
yeah.
the Yankees, too,
gutted.
For the most part. Yeah, gutted. And so the Dodgers are doing it in a really brilliant, brilliant way. They look a lot smarter than everybody else right now.
Yeah.
So that's one trade that I just loved.
Now, in the past...
Especially as a Dodger fan.
There you go. You're all set.
Yeah.
So in the past, there every once in a while, there'd be that one deadline move that completely changed the way the playoffs went. Like when CC Sabathia was dealt to the Brewers that one year, and he went basically undefeated through the rest of the season at like a 1.5 ERA. I think Randy Johnson did that for the Astros.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anything in the – do you think Johnny Cueto is – potentially that kind of like what is there a deal here that's going to just make everybody just completely tremble and think we can't beat these guys anymore?
Houston made some interesting moves. Carlos Gomez going to Houston and adding pop and defensive flair and speed, more speed to that team. That's a really interesting move for them.
And I agree that the Johnny Cueto fits the mold of what you were describing before, because the Royals are a team that. You know, it has a lot of strengths, but they didn't necessarily have an ace arm who they could throw out there in the first and fourth games of a playoff series.
Somebody, you have to have that charisma and personality in addition to having the arm talent for it, and he's got that for days.
You know, it's not just the talent that he brings, but it also pushes mediocre talent out of their rotation.
Right.
As well.
And they're matching up with pitchers that are a little bit more on their playing field, not having to like pitch up a level, which never works.
Right.
So you have, there's only like 10 guys in baseball that you can really feel comfortable saying, here's the ball. It's game one of the division series. Go. We need 8 innings of shutout ball from you.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not that many guys. You go get one, you go get one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It would be cool to see him go like 8-0 down the stretch and then, you know, kind of get everybody really excited going into the playoffs, because it seems like they have everything else. They're just loaded from top to bottom, but they didn't have that one charismatic ace that could get the crowd fired up like, okay, I feel good. We're going into this and we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
If it's 1-0, whatever.
That's
we
right.
got this.
And Price is also that guy. I mean, just in the fact that Toronto might be playing a wild card game, and so you get that one guy to go out there, and once you build that momentum, we've seen it a lot of times from those playoff games, those one-game playoffs, that can really get your team going. So Price is another one in that category.
Yeah. I thought that it was really interesting to see how the Cole Hamels situation ended up playing out.
Yeah.
For a couple reasons. One, I just think that the Rangers are an interesting destination because they're kind of taking the long view on it, and they're not necessarily a team that, you know, realistically expects to compete this season. In fact, they're one of those teams that, based on their record, it could have gone either way.
Right.
You know, and it says a lot about, I guess, the philosophy of the organization that they used that opportunity to say, you know, we're going to bring in a guy who we know is going to help now, but we also have under team control next year, and you know, we're not viewing this on just a year-by-year, extreme fluctuations of we're either tearing down or we're going all in. You know, we're going to take a more holistic approach and bring in a guy who we think is going to be a really valuable piece moving forward and part of our core. And I think from that perspective, I appreciated the way that it broke the typical deadline cycle of either going all in for this year or, you know, shedding assets just for the sake of, you know, basically the long-term future.
Now, I don't watch a whole lot of baseball, but Cole Hamels is still good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still a really good pitcher. Yeah. It was, like, crazy that no-hitter. It was almost, like, emotional and, like, I know I'm leaving Philly. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you one last memory of me.
Yeah.
And here you go.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting when teams can add guys who are definitely good, but for reasons completely out of their own control, their trade value might not be what their talent on the field represents.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in an opportunity to add a real asset at a discount.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't every team line up to do that? I mean, the Rangers are one of the – they're not the Dodgers, but they're in that next group of teams that has a good budget.
Mm-hmm.
So they can always take on guys that make money. But I don't know why other teams that are like – in that position of the Rangers where they have money, but it's not really clicking this year, why wouldn't you try to go, just see what Tulowitzki, see what you can get for him. This is a good ball player.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always have to be these teams that are making a playoff push this year. It's baseball. I mean, if you've got the opportunity to add guys, add them if the price is right.
Mm-hmm.
And baseball's kind of quirky, you know? I mean, it's one of those things we've talked about quite a bit where you know, this year maybe it isn't firing on all cylinders. Maybe you've got, and Texas gets you, Darvish, back, you know, next year. You put him together, that's a really nice tandem that would win playoff games, obviously, you know?
And it's, they're not far removed from being really good.
They were just in the World Series, 3 years ago.
So baseball always confuses me, where it feels like it has to be that all or nothing thing. That middle path feels like something that more of these teams should be taking advantage of, because anytime you can add something for more than what you're giving up, that's a good move. And it, you know, it's, you have to take that longer view of, are you giving up something that you could give up in a future deal, the opportunity cost of making deals when it doesn't make sense for you on your development track. But Cole Hamill's a good player.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's there's something to be said about adding a good player to your team. It also tells the rest of your guys, hey, look, you know, we're not packing it in August and September. Let's build some momentum into the next year. Let's see what we've actually got here. You know, let's see if this guy fits in. You know, there's no guarantees that you're going to be able to add anybody in the winter that's as good as Cole Hamels. You probably won't.
Right.
No.
So let's see if he fits in with the locker room. Let's give him the ball. Let's see if he likes Arlington. So you're getting a really good look at somebody who was recently one of the five best pitchers in baseball,
and is still very much in his physical prime.
Yeah.
Right. You're not dealing for 32-year-old Cole Hamels. You know, this is still somebody that can go out there and give you good 200 inning seasons for a good stretch. So I really enjoy whenever a team kind of thinks a little bit outside of the box like that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I feel like there's no downside to adding good players. So now that we're past the deadline, has your mind changed about who your favorite for the World Series is?
I really like Houston all at once. Houston really did some neat stuff. I'm not saying that they'll win, but they're really one of the better teams in the American League now. They're going to be very tough to beat. They've got a really exciting core group of players. They just add Carlos Gomez, he's going to really change the dynamic of that team, I think. He makes them so much better in so many different ways. And then you add a stud pitcher. Houston's really interesting. They were already really good, and now they've added some veterans. And
they've sped the track a little bit.
Yeah,
because this was like, okay, they're fun, but let's see what they're going to be really good the next year and the year after. But looks like they're kind of trying to jump the line a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit without mortgaging anything in their future. They didn't give up a ton of prospects. They kept it pretty good, you know. And I mean, Kansas City's still going to be tough, and they made moves too. But like you said, winning the trade deadline doesn't mean you win the World Series at all.
It's usually the teams that have just kind of stuck together and were good the whole time.
Yeah, Toronto's won the offseason a couple times recently, and they continue. San Diego just won the offseason this last year, and they're in the cellar, essentially. So,
what about you, Matt? What are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked at all about the Cardinals because they, you know,
who cares?
Pretty quiet. But they, you know, they're still as well positioned as anybody.
Yeah, they're still the Cardinals.
Yeah. But that being said, the Dodgers, I think, were already a team that, if you look at a playoff series, being able to throw out, you know, the beginning of a series, a couple of arms who are, you know, top of the rotation guys.
Greinke right now is, it's like every time he comes on SportsCenter, he's throwing some breaking ball that's defying the law of physics. There was the one, I saw this GIF on Twitter last night where he threw this breaking ball to Albert Pujols that made him look like a 19-year-old just called up.
Yeah.
That was Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
I mean, Greinke right now, I mean, he's always been able to, he's shown flashes of this. But he's looking like that kind of guy that could do what Bumgarner did last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I think that the Dodgers, though, by just patching up a weak spot in the rotation, you know, they now have as good a rotation as anybody in the league, and I think that's going to be...
And who's got a number two like Kershaw? That's
exactly.
That's not a number two.
Well, that's the thing. And you have to view it through the lens of the postseason. And when you can run those two guys out there... And one of them can pitch twice in a series, depending on the way the days fall. I mean, God, you only have to win in one other game.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it makes them very tough to see.
And it's always, those game 3-4s usually can go any number of ways because everybody's usually got that same middling starter that you don't really trust all the way.
Yeah.
Especially in the playoffs where they get shaky.
But when you've got Greinke and Kershaw, that's stupid. That's the Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling for the Diamondbacks mold.
It really is.
You really don't need anything else, but then they're the Dodgers. They have everything
and
else.
So they have Latos and Wood now.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. It's a really great team, to say the least.
And I'm not going to pretend like I know. So I'm not going to pick a winner, I just know that I got into the trade deadline because I think baseball's still got the best trade deadline. Mm-hmm. I mean, the NBA is now year-round. Their trade deadline is pretty good, but trades happen during the season now.
Yeah.
You know, people don't wait till the deadline. And then there's some weird things with the CBA and the value of first-round picks that may or may not exacerbate trades happening in the future. Football is terrible, the worst. Hockey, I can't even begin to tell. I can't even fake it. Mm-hmm. Baseball's got the best trade deadline.
And this was one of the better ones in a long time, too. You saw a real plethora of just different kinds of moves. Mm-hmm. Even Mike Leake to the Giants is a sneaky little move that really could end up impacting the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to work out really nicely in the Bay Area in that great big park. Mm-hmm. He's going from Cincinnati, where people hit home runs that, you know, would have been doubles anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that as a sneaky move. You pair him with Bumgarner, and they're another team that's going to be tough to beat.
Mm-hmm. They've had some recent success.
Yes, they've been okay. Bruce Bochy seems like a decent coach.
He's got a couple ideas. So that's going to do it for segment one here. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Matt Milner about his field trip to Denver, Colorado, here on Can't Wait.